All right, let's give it up for dads and Father's Day. Where are all the dads? Come on, wave. Where are all the dads? Wave. If one's close by you, just pat them on the back. They need all the encouragement they can get. This is a very important day. I'm going to try again. I thought there'd be some support for fathers. So it's number four. For cards that are given, it's number four. So we need a little more encouragement for the dads. Do you know what the number one day for card giving is? No, not Mother's Day. Interesting. Christmas. Yeah, somebody said it. Christmas is the number one day for giving cards. You know what the number two day is? Not birthdays. No, birthdays are way... Birthdays are below Father's Day because everyone doesn't have a birthday on the same day. Just keep you with me. Number two day for cards. What is it? Valentine's Day. Then, of course, you know... Mother's Day, and coming in with a strong fourth place, Father's Day. Fathers don't even get the number one award for phone calls. You know what the number one day for phone calls, long distance phone calls, is? It is Mother's Day. Number one day for phone calls is Mother's Day. Now, Father's Day does win an award, and this is true. You can fact check it. Don't do it while I'm speaking, but you can later on. Father's Day is the number one day for collect phone calls. That is a true story. Which reminds me, I should call my dad. And I don't have my cell phone, but I wonder if the bat phone is available. I wonder if the bat phone is available. I am now stepping into the Batmobile. Just in case you don't know this fact, you think about this. You have never seen me and the Batman in the same room. Think about these things. Okay, here I am. I am in the Batmobile. I drove the Batmobile this week. It has fire that comes out the back end. The bat phone. Yes, operator. Yes, hello. I'd like to make a collect call. Father, yeah. Dad, so good to wish you a happy Father's Day. I can't talk long because I'm doing a message right now, but guess where I'm at? I am in the Batmobile. Yeah, okay. Thanks for taking the charges. Appreciate that very much. Happy Father's Day. Bye. Love you. Bye. Bye. Gotta go. Bye. Love you. Bye. I'm in the Batmobile. When I was a little kid, I had a Batmobile. It was this big. But as I've grown, so have my dreams. And I know if you're the kind of person that writes me letters and tells me what not to do, sends me emails, let me just preemptively say, don't write me and say, why was the Batmobile on the stage? We don't worship bats. We worship Jesus. That's true. But the bat story, the story of Batman, has something to do with Father's Day. Did you know the bat story, the story of Batman? Do you know he was raised fatherless because his father was killed in a mugging? And his mother, so he was raised without a father. And do you know the name of the other caped crusader? His partner in Robin, yeah. And you know Robin's story? Robin, and this is good for Sarasota, comes out of the circus. His family was high wire aerial trapeze artists. And the story is that the mafia was muscling them for money, and Robin's parents chose not to pay, and the mob killed them to teach them a lesson. So Robin also was fatherless. So we have a fatherless Batman taking into his care a fatherless Robin, and both of them feel the great injustice of that action. There's something in our souls that feels an injustice when there's a separation from fatherhood. And people will be feeling it this weekend. Some people will feel an injustice because their father was physically present in the home, but emotionally absent. And there's a feeling of injustice. Even worse, it could be that the father was physically present, but physically abusive. And there's a feeling of injustice. You could feel injustice because you feel today your father was taken from you too soon in life. You may feel, as a father, you may be sitting here and feel, I wish I had spent more time investing in my family, as you look back, than investing in all these other things. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about not a pretend superhero. We're going to talk about a real superhero. We're going to talk about the superhero of the Bible. Do you know his name? The. There's a lot of heroes in the Bible, but the superhero of the Bible, his name would be? Jesus. And Jesus teaches his friends and his followers how to relate to God. One day they asked Jesus, Jesus, teach us how you pray. Praying is so important to you. Teach us how to pray. And Jesus begins the prayer with incredible words. Two words that I just want to emphasize today. If you know how that prayer begins, the two words are, Our Father. Our Father. Because here's what Jesus does. Jesus steps into the injustice of separation from the Heavenly Father, and he heals the wounds of our hearts, and he brings us back in touch with God. And he does it by teaching us that he's our Father. Jesus could have said, I'm going to teach you how to pray. Here's how we pray. I pray to my Father. But when he teaches us to pray, he is inclusive. Why? If you're taking notes, note this. Our Father means that Jesus wants all of us to be in his family. Our Father. In fact, the message of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus is to bring people who are far away from God into the family of God. And he tells us how to do that. How do we make our way into the family of God? John 1 and verse 12. It's in your study guide. Here's what it says. It says you want to find your way into our family, into the family of God. He says that all who receive, give me a good receive, who receive Jesus. Now note this verse, very important. And all who believe, give me a good believe. All who believe in Jesus and all who receive Jesus come into our family and can say, Our Father. I want you to notice that he doesn't say you have to earn your way in. You've got to be good enough to come in. You've got to work real hard to impress our Father. All you have to do is believe and receive, and you're in. And you can say, Our Father. That's what he's telling us. And he wants that relationship to be a family relationship. We see this a little bit. This is not a 100% accurate analogy, but we see it a little bit in our culture. It happened in our family 3 weeks ago. I stood on this stage, and I welcomed a new family member into the family. His name is Sebastian. And what he did was, he received my daughter as his wife. And when he received my daughter, he became part of the family. It happened 3 times in my life where someone received one member of the family, but they got the whole family. That's what Jesus says it's like in the family of God. That when you receive Jesus, when you give your life to him, he gives his life to you, and you are in the family, and you can say, good strong voice, Church of Hope, you can say, Our Father. And he wants that to be a close and personal relationship. He prays for us in John chapter 17, and he prays that the relationship you would have with our Father would not be distant, but would be intimate. He prays this way, and he says, I pray that they, that's all of us, he's praying for us, I pray that they would be one, watch these words, just as you and I are one. He's saying, here's my prayer, that the close relationship that Jesus has with the Father, that we would have that same closeness with him. He wants it to be a personal relationship. We talk about having a personal relationship with God. Some theologians say that's arrogant to think that way, but Jesus says, no. I want people to have a personal relationship with God so that they can say, Our Father. If you're noting this, I'd also say this, that Jesus doesn't want really people to be fatherless. He doesn't want, on this day that we talk about fatherhood, Jesus, when he encourages us to pray Our Father, he doesn't want anyone to be fatherless. When Jesus showed up, he taught us a new way of looking at God. Before Jesus, there are 39 books in the Bible. They are the books of preparation, also called the Old Testament. They're books that are getting us ready for Jesus. And in the 39 books of the Old Testament, the concept of God as Father is taught about 15 times. 39 books, 15 times. 5, 10, 15. Then Jesus shows up, and there are 4 books of manifestation, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the manifestation of Jesus, the Gospels. And in those 4 books, Jesus talks about God as Father 165 times. Can you see the emphasis? 39 books, 15 times. 4 books, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 110, 120, 130, 140, 150, 160, 5. Can you see the difference? And then Jesus uses a word for God that's never been used before. We find it in Luke chapter 14 when he prays like this and talks like this. Abba, here's the word that's never been used before. Abba, Father, you can do all things. If you can take this cup from me, do that. But if not, I want your will, not my will. And he uses the phrase, Abba, Father, which is a close, personal, intimate relationship with God, which on this weekend can be a little difficult because people feel, if they've had an absent father or an abusive father, they feel the distance. And to that, Jesus says, no, I want to heal that wound, and I want there to be a close personal relationship with our Father. Abba is a close personal way to refer to God. I don't know how you refer to your dad. Maybe you call your dad Father, and it's very intimate and warm. Maybe you use the word dad or daddy or papa. I love papa. I love when my grandson... Did you know I have a grandson? Oh, yeah. He comes up every once in a while. I love Papa. My heart melts. And this is what Jesus is saying. When you talk to God and you get this revelation I'm trying to teach you, it melts the heart of God. And if you're here today and you feel far away, or there's been a wound from a father, here's what God says, and he promises us to it in Psalm 68. He says, I will become, for anyone that feels wounded with an absent dad or an abusive dad, anyone that feels wounded, I promise you, God will become a father to the fatherless. That's what Jesus is trying to show. A father to the fatherless and a defender of the widows. The next verse I love as well, that he will take the lonely, anyone that's here that feels far away from the Our Father. And he says, I'm going to take you and I'm going to put you in a family, the families of God. And when you're in the family of God, you can say with a good, strong voice, Our Father. Come on, church, give it to me. Our Father. This church has supported for many, many, many years. 23 years I've been here. And all of those years we've supported a work in East Africa called Watoto, which in the Lugandan language means the children. About 20 years ago, there was an HIV/AIDS pandemic that was going through Africa, and it was leaving orphans by the tens of thousands. And we wanted to be part of the solution. We began supporting a work there that would take orphan children, put them in a home, not an orphanage, a home with a mother that had lost her husband, usually from the HIV pandemic. And they would form a family, and they would totally care for those children, healthcare, education, and family. They took the orphans, and they put them in families. One of the most moving moments of my experience with that mission was a time that Darla and I got to stand in an open field with tens of thousands of people. The church itself that supports this work, the African-based church that we're a part of, is 30,000 members. And tens of thousands of people stood in this open field, and on the stage, there was a mass choir of orphans. And they sang, I am not forgotten. I am not forgotten. I am not forgotten. God knows my name. He knows my name. And I want to be here to remind you that when we say our Father, there's no one in this room that is forgotten by God. He knows your name. He knows you're here today. And he calls you into his family. Jesus says, I want you to say our Father. I want you to be in the family. I want you to understand that he is a father to the fatherless. He will care for you. There's no one in this room that he doesn't know. And there's no one in this room he doesn't love. And there's no one in this room he's given up on. Because when we say, our Father, give it to me, church, when we say, our Father, we're reminding ourselves that God always wants us to come home. And Jesus tells a story, which is a poignant story in Luke 15, of a son that came to his father and said, I want my inheritance, I want everything the family owes me. And he takes the inheritance and he goes into a far land and he spends that inheritance on wild living. And he finally runs out of money. And when he's broke, busted, and disgusted, he ends up feeding pigs for a living. He's not only left home, watch this, he's not only left home, he's lost his identity. He somehow has got disoriented to who he really is. He's in the pig pen one day, and he's feeding the pigs, and he's saying to himself, man, that pig food looks mighty good. And then he snaps out of it and says, if I was home, I wouldn't be thinking about eating pig food. In my home, even the servants eat better than I'm eating. And he starts to rehearse in his mind, and here's how you can see that he has lost his identity. He starts to rehearse in his mind what he will say. He says, okay, I'm going to go home, which is a great thought. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to say to my father, I've sinned against heaven, I've sinned against you. Watch these words. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. It wasn't just that he had left home. He had lost his identity. And so he starts the long journey home. And as he crests the hill and the horizon, their father is there scanning the horizon, watching for the son. And as the son comes into view, the father runs to the son and throws his arms around him. And the son starts to give his rehearsed speech. Father, I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against you. And when he says these words, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, that's when the Father interrupts him. Because the Father understands the problem. He has lost his identity. He has forgotten who he is. And I need to remind him. And the Father interrupts the speech that the Son is giving. And he says, no. I want you to quickly go get the best robe. Why the best robe? Do you remember the story of Joseph's father who gave him a robe of many colors because he was a favored son? That's what's happening here. He said, no. You have lost your identity. You have forgotten who you are. I need to help remind you who you are. Go get the best robe, because you're not a servant. You're a son. He says, get a ring, get it quickly. Get the family insignia ring, the one that shows that you're part of the family. Put it on his hands, because you've forgotten who you are. And I need you to remember, you're a son. And then he says, go get some shoes. Get some shoes. Why? Why shoes? Because slaves are barefoot, but sons wear shoes. Get some shoes on him. I need him to remember who he is. That he may have messed up, but when we say our Father, when we say our Father, we're saying there's a way back home. There is a Father who scans the horizon today, just waiting for you to crest the hill. And he will run to you. If you take one step towards God, he will come running towards you. And if you've lost your way and forgotten who you are, he will remind you who you are. You can start a conversation with God today that will restore the identity of who you are created to be, a child of the Most High God. I grew up in a small town. Maybe you know of the kind of town where everybody kind of knows virtually something about everybody else. That's the kind of town I grew up in. And we lived there a long time, so people knew a lot of stuff. One day, my dad was downtown, and the police chief saw my dad and said, Pastor, I need to talk to you about your son, Scott. And the police chief talked to my dad about me, and it wasn't a good conversation. I know you may find this hard to believe, but I have not lived a perfect life. It was such an intense conversation that my dad left that conversation, drove to school, and pulled me out of school. And then he had a conversation with me. And that was a low point, because I knew I had messed up. And I really thank God, and my dad is here, I honor him, because he was incredibly gracious. Though I had messed up, he was interested in me being picked up. I have an awesome, awesome natural father who learned how to be an awesome father because he and I share the same heavenly father and that father's grace and love. When you mess up, he's the one that comes to pick you up. So I would just say to all that are here, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, when we say our Father, we're just reminding ourselves, oh yeah, Jesus wants us to be in the family. Jesus doesn't want there to be an orphaned spirit where people feel that God is a cosmic force or somewhere out there. No, he is a person that you have a relationship with. He is
Abba, Papa.
And if the injustice is there, the wound is there, because of something that's happened in the background, Jesus steps onto the scene to heal that wound, restore that relationship, and make your soul whole. That's what he comes to do, and that's our invitation. Maybe you've forgotten who you are. The enemy wants you to forget who you are. He'll tell you you're a million other things. But the Father will say, get the best robe. Put a ring on their finger. Put some shoes on. Because you are a child of God. And we can say, Our Father. In fact, I'd love if you know the prayer. Maybe you do or maybe you don't. But if you do know the prayer, I'd love us just to pray that prayer that Jesus taught his followers so long ago. We can pray it out loud and just say, Our Father. We'll say it together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. When you ask for forgiveness, I absolutely promise you, the Father is good enough to give that forgiveness. It's not earning, it's not deserving, it's believing and receiving. And that's all you have to do today is believe and receive. Believe who Jesus was, what he said he was going to do when he went to the cross, which was to absorb all of your sin, all of your shame, take it on himself and pay for you to have an intimate relationship with our Father. Believe that and then receive that by saying, Lord, I trust you enough. And it's a trust thing. I trust you enough to give you my life. And he says, in exchange, I will give you eternal life. This makes our soul whole. And we celebrate the good, good Father. No matter what your story has been in the past, today begins a brand new relationship. And here's our prayer. I'm going to pray a simple prayer that we often pray. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes for this prayer, to open your heart. And just pray with the people around you out loud, because God loves to hear your voice. He gave you that voice so he could hear it. And our prayer is this. Let's start this way. Our Father, I open my heart, my soul, and my mind to Jesus Christ. I give you my life, and I receive your life. I receive your love, your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness. Thank you, God, for loving me. Begin a healing in me. Help me to follow Jesus every day of my life. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. It's a good prayer. Now, if you prayed that kind of prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time, that begins the conversation with God. The work of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit is to take in this rather fatherless culture we're growing up in. 1960, 5% of children were born to fatherless homes. Presently, 41%. So when we talk about the Father heart of God, so many people just don't get it, because they've been wounded and they feel that injustice. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to show people what God is like. That's what Jesus came to do, to show them, no. He is a father to the fatherless, and he is a good, good father. It's part of our mission in life. He's a good father, and he helps us. So may we go from this place, and if you prayed that prayer, I would love to talk to you. I'm going to be hanging around for a while. People will be getting pictures. People will be eating ice cream. People will be going to call their dads, but not collect. Less laughter, more amening. That's what I wanted right there. You know what's interesting? Let's stand. I'm going to pray. I'm going to bless you guys. Let's stand for this prayer. You know what's interesting? Just think about this. Some of you, I'm not. Like, there are aficionados of the whole culture of superheroes and comic books. And I started to do a little reading. Man, do you know that there's multiple Batman and multiple Robin? I can't even go into all. It's so deep. I can't go into all of it. But I got... Here's a big thing. As I read, just because I wanted to make sure I didn't say anything that was like totally wacko when it came to... the number of superheroes that don't have dads. And that is the injustice that needs to be healed in their life. Over and over again, you can start to think of them. Oh, wow. And that resonates in our soul because that's the injustice we feel. That we're separated from the Creator, our Father, and we need someone to step into the gap and heal it. And that's what Jesus does. And that's our message to a world. You're not alienated from your Creator, from your Father. You are healed because of the work and the life and the ministry of Jesus. And that's good news. So let's take that message, y'all. Let's share it with people. If you've been a guest here today, thank you so much for coming. I got two more messages next week and the week after on the kingdom of God. They're going to be incredible. One of them is about fishing. Jesus loved fishing. We're going to talk about fishing. If you've been a guest here today, please stop by the volunteer room, VIP, very important person's room, which is over here. And if you have any questions about the church, about God, maybe you prayed that prayer and you just want to talk to somebody, somebody will be in there to talk to you, give you a Bible if you need it, give you a booklet if you need it to help you grow in your faith. Really pray you have a great day today, and I bless you. Thank you for coming. Love you guys so much. And really pray that we'll all be in the place where we can say, Our Father, just with great joy. So I pray this blessing before I dismiss you. I bless you in the strong, mighty, and majestic name of the resurrected Christ, whose power is present in this room to heal the wounds of your heart, who says to all of his sons and all of his daughters, welcome home. I pray the Holy Spirit would remind you of your identity, remind you who you were created to be, put a robe on your back and a ring on your hand and a sandal on your foot. Well, feet would be good. I bless you in the strong name of Jesus, and in Jesus' name, you are very, very blessed. And everybody says, amen. Grace and peace to everybody. Love you so much. We'll see you. Remember, pray for VBS this week, our team, and come for pictures if you want to get some pictures up here with the Batmobile.